Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, this is Fargo from the Cranberries.
This is Ian from Churches.
And you're hearing the story behind the song on Consequence.
Welcome, listeners, to the story behind the song and the kickoff to new season 3. I'm your host, Peter Chatti of Deep Cuts Media. Hard to believe, but we're now into our fourth year of classic interviews with legendary artists about their most iconic songs. That's over 40 episodes that you can revisit anytime. Now we're on to season 3 and our next 40 episodes, and I'm kicking things off this new season with a great one that features the Cranberries' classic 1993 breakout track, Linger. This one's special. It features both the Cranberries' co-founder and drummer, Fergal Lawler, and Ian Cook of Churches. Cook recently released a newly reimagined and wonderful version of Linger, which still, of course, features the iconic, haunting voice of the Cranberries singer, Dolores O'Riordan. Both the original and reimagined tracks showcase why the Cranberries were one of the biggest bands of the 1990s, selling over 50 million songs, and why their timeless music still resonates today. It's a fascinating, unique interview with two very different artists from two very different bands and two very different eras, coming together to demonstrate the enduring power of a timeless track. And it's the perfect track to kick off season 3, since Fergal was the band's drummer, and this next week marks Consequence's Drum Week Spectacular. Drum Week features the 100 greatest drummers of all time, exclusive interviews with some of the biggest names ever to sit behind a kit, and so much more as Consequence celebrates the masters of rhythm. Check out all their Drum Week content at consequence.net. So with that, let's start season 3 and dive deep into the story behind the song Linger, both the original version and the newly reimagined one, with Fergal Lawler of the Cranberries and Ian Cook of Churches.
Fergal Lawler, we have you from the great band The Cranberries. Fergal, good to see you.
Hi. Hi, Peter.
Ian Cook from the great band Churches.
Thank you.
So, both of you, wonderful to have you. So, Fergal, I'll ask you first, where are you dialing in from today?
Ireland, from home.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
Rainy Ireland.
Is this? But beautiful Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ian, how about you?
Rainy Glasgow.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're right. I think that's why both of those places are so beautiful and green is because it pisses with rain the whole time. I can say piss, right?
You can say anything you want. Right. It's a safe zone here. You can talk about anything.
Lovely.
I'm far, far away from you guys, but love both of your music. So I want to bust right into it in terms of, guys, how did this even happen? Because we're talking about, we're going to get into the story behind the original version in 1993. But also the exciting part is that now there's a reimagination, Ian, that you've done that's just coming out. And so how did that happen?
Do you want to go, Fergal, or shall I?
No, you go first. Yeah.
I just randomly found a message in my request folder on Instagram from someone from the Cranberries label in the US asking if I'd like to reimagine a few of the songs from their catalog. And I just thought it was spam. I completely did not respond to it because, you know, unsolicited things like that in your request folder and you're like, okay. But I passed it on to my manager, Campbell, and he was like, no, this checks out. This is the legitimate guy. And it's a legitimate opportunity. And I didn't really know more about it other than this guy was sort of looking after the publishing side of the Cranberries catalog and wanted to do something interesting with a few songs. But there was no other remit than, you know, just have fun with it. I remember saying, you know, it'd be great to speak to the band and get a sense of, you know, what it is they want from this, because like there's so many ways that you could take it. Like, where do you even start? Especially with a song like Linger that's so iconic, you know, that everybody knows and loves. And so I had a chat with Fergal and he similarly just said, just go have fun with it. So I was like, okay, no remit, no direction. Here we go.
No rules.
No rules. It's the dream, isn't it? As an artist, just being told, go and have fun, you know.
But so there wasn't any particular anniversary or time of this. This was just an outreach that happened.
Yeah, we had been, we had a band meeting a couple of months back and we were kind of talking about remix ideas. You know, it's something we had been thinking of for a while because years ago we had some remixes done. I remember a band called The Orb did a remix of Zombie, which is like a really...
It's wild.
Like a dub reggae version, which is fantastic, you know, completely different to the original song. So we wanted, you know, to just throw it out and kind of see who would be up for doing some remixes or reimagining of versions of the song. And Ian's name came up. So we said, yeah, we knew the band Churches, obviously. So, yeah, we threw the message out there and, you know, it just worked out great. It really is. It was tears in my eyes the first time I heard it. And I was kind of getting goosebumps and everything. It was amazing because it's so different, but not, you know, it's different to the original song, but it's Dolores' voice and her voice sounds really present, I think. And she sounds so young in it and everything. It's crazy. It was hard to kind of get my head around it, but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I can only imagine that it really brings you back to that moment in time. And it is a, you know, I've listened to it, obviously, and it is a beautiful version that's very faithful, but yet it's different. And so it's a different take on it. And I'm not an artist, but I can imagine that it's kind of exciting when somebody takes one of your babies and just has a different take on it.
It can go either way, trust me.
What do you think it is about this song that has such an enduring legacy?
It's something that was, it was the first song that we wrote together as a band. And I remember it was on our first demo or whatever. And it created a stir when we sent it off to record companies. And I remember the guy that signed us, Denny Cordell, who was a real music head. He was really, really moved by music and really passionate about music. He was a producer. He produced Whiter Shade of Pale for Perm.
What an amazing song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some early Tom Petty stuff and that. So he really, you know, was very passionate about music. He was the first one that kind of said, you know, this song is a timeless song. 30 years from now, this is going to be, still a hit. We were kind of like, yeah, sure. You know, it's our first song.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years from now, people won't even remember it or whatever. But, you know, he had that vision to know that there was something special about it. And you know, it's crazy to think 30 years later or whatever, people are still discovering this song and it still has life. You know, it's crazy. It really is hard to get my head around.
It's funny when people ask a question like that because, you know, I guess if every artist knew the answer, I think we would all be, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
We would all be just rocking out the platinum songs every other day. But
yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. I think in the case of Linger, there's a real kind of emotional honesty to not just the lyrics, but the melodies as well. And I don't know. There's just something magical about it that it's impossible to define, and as it should be.
So, take us through a little bit of your journey of just how you formed the band, how that came together. And then how you came up with the name of the band too, because I know there was a variation before what it ultimately came to. But
okay, if you go back to the very start, I was around 14 and I was a breakdancer.
No way.
Wow.
And it was the mid 80s, like, or whatever. And
I was there, by the way.
Yeah. So I was breakdancing in a local town or whatever, and one Sunday afternoon, this group of guys came out and they were breakdancers, and we kind of got together and got chatting. And I think Noel might have been there, but there was definitely a couple of friends that hung around with Noel and Mike. I got to know them, and then we started hanging around breakdancing together. And then I got to know Noel and Mike. And we started listening to music like The Cure, The Smiths, New Order, Joy Division, that kind of stuff, you know, after we had gotten out of the breakdance thing. And then there was a friend of mine who I was in school with, was a DJ, Aidan Devine, and he had a local pirate radio station. And he used to play local Irish bands and Limerick bands. And we were like, oh my God, there's bands in Limerick playing, you know, because we were only 17. We couldn't go out to pubs or anything, so we didn't know. And then we started exploring, getting demo tapes from these bands and stuff and listening to them and going, oh my God, you know. And then, you know, if they can form a band, why don't we form a band? So we got our instruments, and I would have been 17, Noel would have been 16, Mike would have been 15. And we started practicing together, just three of us. Then we met a guy who was a drummer in a different band, but he also wanted to sing, Niall Quinn. So he was the original singer, and he came up with the name The Cranberry Saw Us. So we did that for about a year. I didn't really like it. It was kind of, they were kind of joke songs, you know, kind of comedy element to it, which didn't appeal to me. I wanted to be more serious. Like. So he left after about a year, but crucially, his girlfriend was in school with Dolores, and said, there's these three guys who play an original material looking for a singer. And she came up to the rehearsal room one Sunday afternoon with a keyboard under her arm, plopped it down. And there was like about seven or eight guys in the room because our friends used to come up and listen to us rehearse on a Sunday afternoon because there's nothing else to do in 80s Limerick. miserable, rainy, cold 80s Limerick. But
that's a great atmosphere to jam in.
yeah, of course. Yeah. If it's sunny, you don't want to be inside playing. You want to be out enjoying the sunshine, you know. So, yeah, bravely, she plonked down her keyboard, played a few songs that she had, and we played some instrumental music that we had been working on. And one of those tracks was Linger. So Noel taped the acoustic guitar part that he had, the chords or whatever, and gave them to her because with the whole band playing, it was too loud. So it was just like a little beatbox. So, you know, press record and play at the same time. So he recorded his acoustic guitar part, gave it to her, and she took it home. And then the following, maybe the following Tuesday or the following Sunday, I'm not sure, but she came back with the string line, you know, da 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 da, that part, and most of the vocals and melodies and stuff. So we were like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah. So at the time when you were introduced to Dolores, were you looking for a female singer, or were you kind of, it could be, as long as the singer's great, it could be.
Exactly. Yeah. We were open-minded, male or female, we didn't care.
Yeah.
And we had tried out a couple of guys and they were like, ooh, they can't really sing, you know, at all.
And so did you know immediately that there was some magic there with her coming into the band?
Yeah, it was hard to hear her. We knew she could sing, but she was plugged into a guitar amp with her microphone. So it sounded really distorted and it wasn't very clear. But we knew she could sing, you know, could hear her in the room and you knew she could keep a tune. But I think it wasn't till like a month or so later that we went into the studio to do a demo tape. And then you could hear her clearly in the studio and she was doing backing vocals with the harmonies and soprano vocals. And it was like, oh my God, you know, because you really hear it clearly then. And we knew something special.
And then Linger, like you said, she brought in lyrics to that. And so that really was kind of the beginning of the band in that form.
Yeah. So we made it the Cranberries then, you know, we shortened it to the Cranberries.
Yeah. Ian, tell us a little bit about your journey with Churches and how that happened.
Actually, when I was listening to Fergal there talking, it kind of chimed a little bit with how my band formed as well. Martin and I had known each other for years. We were at college together. I had graduated and come back as a lecturer, and he was in some of my classes, which was weird. But we immediately hit it off and liked a lot of the same music, and, you know, shared a lot of ideas, and I'd offered to produce his band at the time. We're called Julia 13, and we found that we worked together really, really well in the studio. And you know that way when one person's idea just sparks off another person's, and there's this kind of continuum of energy, I guess you would call it. But we were sort of playing. We ended up sort of playing in a band called Aerogram together. We toured America for a bit and then split up, and we sort of went our separate ways. But we'd always sort of talked about the idea of let's do our thing, because we were always kind of arranging or playing in other people's songs, and we wanted to at some point get in the studio and, you know, and do something that was entirely ours and see if we could feed off that energy between us. So when summer 2011, we I think I'd bought a Moog Voyager, and we decided we were going to try, because we'd always been in guitar bands and, you know, indie guitar bands, and we decided we'd try something a little bit more kind of pop electronic centric. And so we'd written about three or four songs, and Martin was going to be the singer, and we were sort of spitballing ideas about, you know, sort of fleshing it out. And I thought, well, I had been working with Lauren Mabry and her band, producing her band, and I said, well, why don't I ask her to come down and try some backing vocals, you know? And it was a similar thing to what Fergal just described with Dolores. It's like hearing that voice coming back out of the speakers with the music that we'd been working on. It was a proper kind of lightning bolt moment of, oh shit, you know? And then you can sort of in that moment see how it's going to roll out for the next 10 years or whatever. It's like, whoa. But that doesn't happen very often, you know? I'm nearly 50 now and I've been in so many bands, and that's the only time I've ever felt anything like that, you know?
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log in to your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
Linger was on your first album, 1993, your debut album, that was called Everyone Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We? And I love that title, so I'm just curious what that meant to you.
Dolores always came up with the titles. That was her thing, because she wrote the lyrics and stuff, so it was like, okay, you take care of that. And that title came about from a little bit of frustration we had, because we were touring and touring and touring, and nothing was really happening for the first year or two. It was like that kind of frustrated side of things where you can kind of see other bands getting on and, you know, they're making headway and it's like, you know, why are we stuck in this rut or whatever? So I think that's where that title came from.
Yeah. Ian, did you ever feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Many bands touring, like little toilet tours, you know, sticky carpets and cupboards for dressing rooms, and just like, why are we doing this to ourselves? That became the mantra of the band I was in before Churches, was why are we doing this to ourselves? So that would have been a good alternative album title.
Yeah. So Fergal, when you were going into the studio to produce your first album and with Linger, what was the feeling like? And yeah, just kind of the feeling of the band and the feeling of the times and what you were looking to do just with your overall sound at that point.
It was very exciting because we were working with Stephen Street and we had kind of had a failed attempt with someone else before, a guy who had just done our demos. So he wasn't really that professional. Yeah, so that was a bit frustrating. So we kind of went off on tour again after that and cleared our heads. And then we met Stephen and did a few, I think it was did a week with Stephen just to get an idea, see how we worked together. And it just worked out so amazingly well. He's an amazing producer and just really works well with people. And yeah, I think he got us. He got the space that needs to be around the band, you know. There's a kind of a certain darkness, maybe I'd say, or melancholy that underlying in some songs, and he just managed to capture that whole vibe, you know, that feeling. And yeah, we just clicked with Stephen straight away and got on really well with him. And obviously that's why he produced most of our albums.
When you came into the studio and you'd already been rehearsing with, you know, with the band and just playing the song yourselves, was the sound transformed quite a bit with Stephen? You know, at this, like the strings coming in, because the lush strings are such a part of that song. So
yeah,
was that an idea that came from him, or how did?
No, that was Dolores had actually played that on a keyboard the first day she came back with her lyrics and the melodies and everything. And she had played that string line on the keyboard. So she knew that she wanted real strings eventually to play it. For most of the time, you know, when we were in the studio, she would have played it on keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that as a reference. And then a few weeks later, we got the string section in for a day, and they played on a few different songs. But yeah, Dolores always came up with those melodies.
I was looking this up the other day and I couldn't figure out who actually arranged the strings. Did you guys do it yourselves, or did you get someone in to do it?
Dolores would have done it with John. Oh God, I can't think of his surname now. But he was the violin player with the quartet that came in.
Right.
And Steve used to work with them. They worked on the Smiths albums and stuff as well.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt here.
So Fergal, you had the music already for Linger, as you said. Do you recall the first time that came to your head or to your bandmates' heads? Do you remember that? And did you feel like, oh, that was really cool, that was something different?
No, it wasn't really until we started playing with Dolores that it kind of went up a notch and you went, oh, okay, this is something special.
Yeah. And then on the lyrics, you know, you were talking about melancholic and so true, and a little bit of darkness, where you hear from, you know, songs like Zombie and the other songs are there's a little bit of that. But she came back with the lyrics in less than a week. And, you know, some of them are just, if you could return, don't let it burn, don't let it fade. And it's about love gone wrong. Do you know where that came from? Did she ever explain that to you?
Yeah, she would talk sometimes about certain songs, but she was never one to speak about them in interviews, because I think rightly so, you know, if a singer speaks about their lyrics too much, then it can kind of take from the idea that the listener has. You know, for me as a listener, I listen to a Radiohead song or something, and I have a picture of what that's about and what it means to me. But then if I see an interview and Tom York is explaining the lyrics, and it's like, oh, that's not what I was, you know.
And then you never listen to it again.
For me then. Yeah. So I think that's why she never really liked to speak too much about the lyrics, in case it would take that from somebody.
And then once this was all produced in the studio and the album was done, did you feel like that song was particularly special?
Yeah, well, there was a bit of an issue, because Denny Cordell, the guy that signed us, loved that song, like I was saying, you know, when he heard it in the demo. And then when the song was finished, he was kind of, oh, it's not the same as the demo, you know, and he was kind of, maybe we try a remix. And he got a couple of guys in to do remixes, and they were never as good as what Stephen had done with us. Like, so we kind of had to fight him a little bit and say, look, this is the way we want it. We're really happy with this. This is the way it's going to be. So, yeah, we kind of had to, there was a bit of to-ing and fro-ing for a while, but in the end, you know, this is the version that you know now is the one that we did with Steve.
Which is another just perfect example of how the different decision may have changed the trajectory of that song and of everything.
Yeah.
And so once it was released, and were you surprised by the commercial success of it, that it just took off?
It was a shock, because we had been touring over here in Europe, and we got a call to say that Linger has been played a lot on college radio in the US, that we needed to get over and do a tour over there. So we did basically a 6-month tour of every single state. And as we were progressing on the tour, the song was getting bigger and bigger, and then they started playing it on MTV. I remember myself and Mike used to share a room together, and we were, you know, constantly just watching MTV because we didn't have it over here. So, you know, constantly on.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ, Linger's on again. Linger's on again. You know, it was on that.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, turn it off.
It was on heavy rotation.
Bloody song again.
Yeah. How did that all, for young kid, like you were young, you were very young.
Yeah.
Kid,
early not, 20s.
Yeah, early 20s. How did you handle that immediate rush going into this, you know, massive fishbowl?
We didn't pay attention to it. It didn't really affect us at that stage, I think, because we were a close group who were touring with ourselves and a crew, and we were all on the one bus in our little bubble going around the States, you know, so we never hung out with celebrities or went to parties, or we were just kind of too busy just doing our own thing and in our own bubble. So we didn't really affect us, to be honest.
Yeah. And again, for everybody out there who's listening, and you may not know the full catalog of Cranberry songs, or, you know, a significant number of them, because everybody knows, you know, Linger and Zombie and those songs. But there's so many great songs. So I encourage you to dig in and enjoy them. And Ian, you told us a little bit about how you first learned about this opportunity. So now let's talk about the reimagination of the song, which is 30 years later, and it's entirely new now. How did you take that outreach and then start thinking about what you would do with it?
Well, I guess the first thing that I did was sort of set myself the parameter of having no synths on it at all, because, you know, when people think about a remix, you think it's going to be kind of electronic, it's going to be dancey, and I just sort of didn't, because I mean, I've done these sort of things before, and you can knock them out in an afternoon, you know, if you really don't care or whatever, and I didn't want to do that because I really love the song, and I loved it from the moment I heard it. So I wanted to respect that and to do it and to give it my proper attention, you know. So the first thing I did was just sat at the piano here and tried to just with Dolores' vocals soloed, and tried to sort of reimagine the chords to take them away from where our ears are used to hearing them, because I often find that that's a good way to sort of reset your musical association with a song, you know, the song that you know really, really well. And it sort of frees you up from a production and an arrangement point of view to go into different places harmonically with slightly different chords that you might not have thought of, or that were kind of dictated by the original chords. And so once the sort of piano stuff was in place, it was all kind of just acoustic guitars, mandolins, dulcimer, baran, like, I don't know, how do you pronounce it in Ireland, Virgil?
Bowron.
I think we say Baran in here, but that sounds like a bastardization of the, pronunciation.
Bowron or Bowron, what is that?
Drummer.
Like a hand drum. It's kind of like a disc-shaped hand drum that you kind of play like this.
Okay.
You know, you hold it like this and play it.
I feel terrible. I'm a percussionist, but, you know, I grew up as one, and I didn't know that name. But anyhow, Ian, I digress.
And so it was just a case of building it up from there. And then then what I really wanted to do with it was for there to be this sort of psychedelic folk instrument sounding soundscape, but to have like a really strong groove in the chorus that that married somehow with the rhythm of the vocals and the phrasing of the vocals. So I did that with bass and some programmed drums and got it sort of locked in. And then I took it up to my friend Johnny Scott's place in Kirkintilloch, which he's the church's drummer, live drummer. And we just sat and an afternoon and just jammed it over and over until it felt like it was really starting to gel and just sort of fleshed it out from there. But yeah, I guess I'd been listening to, not doing the church's stuff, which, as you know, is kind of like synth pop or electronic indie pop, whatever you want to call it. Just the freedom of having no synthesizers at all really takes your brain again to a different place where you can sort of think outside the box. And I'd been listening to a lot of sort of, you know, the sort of UK folk revival in the 60s. And, you know, when acid and like stuff came over from America and you know, people were taking sort of psychedelics, the thing that happened musically in the UK just spread all over the world and continues to this day. And I just wanted to tap into that a bit and to examine how that sort of 60s psych sound could be transplanted to a kind of 90s psych sound. Like, obviously that's where the Cranberries come from. And Fergal picked up on it straight away when I played him the mix that the end kind of sounds like the Happy Mondays.
Another great sound, you know, the Happy Mondays. Yeah. So how much interaction was there between the two of you, Ian, while you were going about this process?
Well, I sort of got a demo up to a sort of point where I was like, okay, I could probably send this over to Fergal and see what he thinks. And I'm very happy to say that he loved it and immediately came back with, I've got some ideas for some additional percussion. And I was like, please send them. And so I guess you spent a few days in the studio or an afternoon in the studio and sent over some goodies to slot into the mix. And it made a huge difference to the overall sort of liveliness, I guess, and energy of the track.
When you're asked to do something like this, and take a classic song and reimagine it, I would think that there is some pressure almost, you know, because, you know, just feeling how the original artists behind that song, how they would feel about how you've taken it and, you know, just brought your own sentiment or feelings about it.
Yeah, it's terrifying. But also something that Fergal's already said is like when you put a song out there, it no longer really belongs to you anymore because it sort of becomes something else in the ears and the hearts of the people who listen to it and love it, and so that was a journey for me because you know this Linger was a song that a friend of mine gave me on a compilation tape that he made up and you know, right when it first came out. I think he'd heard it on John Peel on the BBC. And immediately I was just like, oh my God. So, I mean, I have a relationship with this song as well as, you know, millions of other people. I guess it was, like I said, just trying to reset kind of my associations with the song and try and get a really fresh head on it, which is a really difficult thing to do. I got the stems for Zombie and I've got it up on my machine and I'm absolutely terrified, but I'm gonna try and follow the same path and see what happens.
Okay, so everybody out there, you heard it here first that it sounds like this is breaking news that you're gonna now do a similar kind of thing with Zombie. Okay. I won't tell anybody. nobody will know, but that's very cool too. Yeah. So the process is done. Fergal, you hear it for the first time. What's your reaction? And what would you like to see with the reimagination of that song?
It was just a surprise, I think, because it just sounded so fresh and alive. You know, like I said, I've heard that song millions and millions of times and played it thousands of times. So to hear it, this whole reimagined fresh new version was just incredible, but yet with Dolores's vocal there, you know, as well, it was hard to to put it into words, it was just very emotional. And I kind of, once I'd listened to it, I kind of had to put it on again and went, oh my God, you know, and just feel it, I suppose. And I think it's something that she would have loved because, you know, her vocal is there, so she wouldn't be pissed off that, what the hell are you doing with the effects on her vocal? You know, she didn't like effects on her vocal, never liked that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Reverb and delay or something, yeah. That was it. But the fact that, you know, it's still the original vocal, and then that, it sounds different because, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just fresh, I think, yeah. A fresh, upbeat version. Yeah, incredible. I don't know how you did it. It really is mind baffling. Because I would have crumbled if that was sent to
no,
me.
No, you wouldn't. Really, you wouldn't.
I'd have absolutely crumbled.
I believe in you, Fergal. But no, like when I got the files through for Linger, I sat down and listened to Dolores' vocal stuff on its own, and oh my God, the shivers, you know. Because I don't know if anybody's heard the, like, if there hasn't been any like official remixes, I don't know, but if anybody's heard the multi-tracks and was able to isolate that, her performance. But I think if there was ever a great place to start from in terms of building up an arrangement, you know, you're starting with one of the most iconic vocal performances of the century, you know, so it was a good start.
You know, you were talking about just kind of, you know, bringing it back with her amazing voice. And what a unique voice. What an incredibly unique voice. And I'd be remiss because I don't think everybody in the audience who's going to be listening to this knows that we lost Dolores in 2018. And so, I can't even imagine. And, I don't want to pry at all, Fergal, but just at that point, when that happened, how do you react? Like, how do you, the band is active at that point in time. So what is your mindset after, you know, that terrible loss?
Devastated. I still can't fully realize it, because there's days where I think, oh, I must send her an email or give her a call, you know? And it really is so hard to understand it, I suppose, you know, because she was so young. She was 46 when she died. It's just, I'm still grieving, and I think we all are, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain it, really.
Yeah.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs, with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
I want to thank you both for taking us through your individual journeys with the song. because it is such a powerful song. And, you know, as we were talking about at the beginning a little bit too, it's this quiet, such melancholic, so emotionally honest. And then, you know, the Cranberries has this heart, you know, this really strong hard edge to it too. And so the range that you have as a band is pretty incredible. And because you do go from that song to Salvation, which is hard driving, pumping, and Zombie, of course, is just. And so, Ian, it's going to be fascinating to hear what you do with that
song. I shouldn't have mentioned it. The pressure's on.
You know, one thing, Ian, I want to ask you about too. You were saying that because you're, you know, electronic, you know, that's kind of part of the, you know, the synth, and, you know, that is part of the song, Sound of Churches. But then you didn't have that as you reimagine Linger. So did that change? Do you think that changes the way you think about your own music as you move forward?
Probably. I've been sort of going that way in my head and with songs and stuff I've been writing on my own over the past year. So I think naturally, if you take a break from your main band or your main project, naturally what you listen to and what you gravitate towards and what your head does, you know, process and everything that's happened. And yeah, I guess that's got to in some way feed itself back into the main thing. I guess that's what makes collectives so interesting is that you have all these influences that keep growing and changing. It's organic. And you bring them together and there's a collision and there's fights and there's joyous moments, and hopefully some of that translates to, you know, a good idea musically. I mean, it's not going to be a folk album if that's what you're asking. Maybe there'll be more elements of that, or more elements of you know, the types of things that I was using in the Linger mix. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah. And I do have to ask you, because I haven't asked you yet and I'm curious. The band name Churches, and you have the V instead of the U. Mm-hmm. So how did that happen?
It was originally Churches with a U, and pretty quickly we realized that if you put that into Google or whatever, you're just going to get, you know, places of worship, let's say. So we thought, it was actually, there was a designer who was doing a t-shirt, like just a, you know, limited run of t-shirts for us right at the beginning. And she had stylized it, you know, like a Roman numeral U. And we thought, damn, that looks actually quite cool. So maybe we should, you know, it'll help to sort of identify, you know, the band and all that. So it was good. But you're right, we get asked it every single interview.
I know. I'm sorry I had to ask it. I just remember you were talking about, you know, if you Google search churches, you'll get a global search of churches.
We were never going to compete with Jesus.
What's on your playlists right now? And I'll ask you another bonus question. What is a band or an artist that the world may not really know but should, that you believe is just a, you know, some undiscovered talent?
The latest album that I've been listening to, this is an answer to both questions, actually, because they're a band called Beak.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Barrow.
It's the guy from Portishead. You know the band Portishead?
Yeah, of course, of course.
So he has this band called Beak. The new album is fantastic. It just reminds me of a little bit of Joy Division at times, and then kind of 60s psychedelia or something. It's crazy. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I've been playing that on repeat since I got it last week.
So is it spelled B-E-A-K?
Beak. B-E-A-K, yeah. Like a bird's beak.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I mean, Portishead, that's what an amazing band. Yeah.
And Beth from Portishead has got a solo album out now, and it's fantastic. I don't know if you guys have heard
it yet. I haven't heard it.
They were playing it all the time on the radio over here, and the lead single, and it's like, whoa, this sounds great. I mean, it immediately sounds like her, you know?
Yeah, because she had another one years ago.
That's right. But yeah, with Rustin Man, I think it was.
I remember that, but I didn't know she knew.
Yeah, it's great. Check it out, yeah.
And Ian, how about you?
Recently discovered an album by a jazz guy called Shabaka. I don't know if you're aware of this guy, but he was like a really well-respected saxophonist, jazz sax. And he decided at the beginning of last year to just abandon the instrument completely and pursue flute instead. And so he spent the year like traveling all over the world, meeting with different sort of masters of the flute in different cultures. And you know, such a brave thing to do, but the resulting album is absolutely beautiful. It's in, I guess you would kind of classify it as spiritual jazz, you know, like kind of Alice Coltrane and stuff like that. But it's an absolutely beautiful record. You guys should have a listen.
So what is next for you on the musical front, or what projects are you working on right now?
I've been doing music for documentaries for the past few years. So I'm working, I just finished one for an Irish TV show. It's about female referees. There's three female referees, one for who's a rugby referee, one is a soccer referee, and one is a hurling referee. Hurling is an Irish sport. And it's just about their struggles to become top of their game. And in sport that they would kind of have to fight really to get their place, you know, because it's mostly male oriented sports, and they're kind of going, what are you doing here? Like, you know, why are you here? Kind of thing, you know, so they had have to fight against that. So that was really good to do. And it was a great story. And that's going to be on TV shortly. Nice. And there's another project I'm working on with an American company called Copperpot Pictures. Great, great company who have done loads of documentaries. And it's about Don Bluth, you know, the animator.
Mm-hmm.
Don Bluth, he used to work All Dogs Go to Heaven and Anastasia. Mm-hmm. And
is that B-L-U-T-H? Don, yes. Bluth. Okay, sorry. Yes.
It's my accent.
No.
So, yeah,
it's my ears.
We're working on that at the moment. So I love it because I can work from home and just email stuff back and forth, and I don't have to tour, which is fantastic. Once you get over 50, it's not really fun to be touring anymore.
Oh, it's exhausting.
And are there any Cranberry songs that we haven't heard yet that we may hear in the future? You know, Deep Vault, Deep Cuts.
I'm not sure. There might be a few, one or two. We kind of need to, you know, it's still hard to go back and listen through stuff because we've done some reissues of albums like everybody else. And No Need to Argue is actually, I think it's 30 years old this year. And there's a reissue coming out of that at the end of the year. So we're kind of listening back to material from those times. And it's emotionally draining to go back, especially after Dolores died, you know, obviously, because all those emotions and memories are coming back up again. So it's very hard to do it. So you kind of have to take a break after each one and kind of say, okay, I need a break from this for a while now, and to kind of recharge and come back again in a few years' time. So yeah, I'm sure there is some stuff there, but we need to get the strength to go back and look at it again.
Yeah, understood. And for you, Ian, what can we expect from Churches?
Well, at the moment, we're sort of on a little bit of a break. We have been since last summer. We did some shows with Coldplay, which was absolutely mental. Those guys are so, so huge. 60,000 people a night, like...
I'm sure.
Crazy, crazy.
How does that feel, by the way? How does it feel to be playing in front of such a massive audience?
It's so weird. The first couple of times, it's terrifying, and then it just becomes completely normal. Like, and I don't know, you'll know, Fergal, right? It's like, what's the psychology there? It's like almost beyond the, like, you know, 10th row. It feels like it's just an oil painting, like a backdrop or something, you know? It's so weird.
When can we expect new music?
Well, yeah, we're on a bit of a break just now, and... working on just sort of various different sort of side and solo projects. And I'm hoping that we'll be in the studio again before the end of the year. But beyond that, I've absolutely no roadmap for where it's going to go. But yeah, we're definitely still an ongoing concern. And there will be new music at some point, but I can't tell you when.
Very cool. Listen, both of you, Fergal from the Cranberries, Ian from Churches, thank you both so much for joining me on The Story Behind the Song and to get in deep into this iconic song, the Cranberry song, Linger, both the original and then the reimagination by Ian. And you heard it here first. Now the pressure's on when we're going to get into zombies. So we'll be hearing that too.
I don't know what to do, which is going to be
exciting. And everybody else, everybody go out there and listen to both great bands. Dig deep into the music because there's so many wonderful tracks, so many wonderful tracks. So thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Pierre.
Thanks, David.
That was Fergal Lawler of the Cranberries and Ian Cook of Churches telling their stories behind the classic and now reimagined song, Linger. I'm your host, Peter Chadi of Deep Cuts Media. Thanks for listening to the kickoff of Season 3. And stay tuned each Monday for another episode of new interviews with icons like Zedd, my first interview with an already legendary DJ, mixed with classic interviews with icons like Blondie and Rick Astley. Reach out to me at peter@deepcutsmedia.com if you want to add your own icons to the list. And this next week marks Consequences Drum Week Spectacular. Drum Week features the 100 greatest drummers of all time, exclusive interviews with some of the biggest names ever to sit behind a kit, and so much more as Consequence celebrates the masters of rhythm. Check out all their Drum Week content at consequence.net. And check out our Story Behind the Song merch on the Consequence website. If you like the artwork from my podcast, you'll love the poster. I have one hanging right here in my studio. So until then, thanks for listening to the Story Behind the Song.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Tuesdays at Papa Murphy's, you can get large signature or thin crust pizzas for just $12.
We call it Take and Bake Tuesday.
Talking $12 Take and Bake Tuesday?
Yeah, that's today's topic.
It's terrific for tuning up a tiring Tuesday through a tasty $12 treat.
Truthfully, Take and Bake Tuesday tops tossing back tacos.
Tell that taco to hit the trail. It's Take and Bake Tuesday's time to triumph.
Time out. This is turning into a tongue twister.
Totally tis. So just try Take and Bake for $12 every Tuesday at Papa Murphy's. Change the way you pizza.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.